Goat's Head Soup, Dancing with Mr. D, The Stones, 95.5, KLOS Southern California's rock station. Hello, Kevin.
How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
How was your night?
Fair to Midland. Fair to Midland. How about you?
Fair to Midland.
Yeah, nice. I basically remember most of it. So
neither of
good.
Us are hungover. That's
yeah.
good. That's good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, as you know, Charlie Watts passed away.
Very sad.
So we're going to be doing a lot of Stones today on the show. We're going to talk to Chris Carter in about a half hour.
Nice. And then I think we're going to have
about
Christian
10 minutes,
Hamm.
Actually.
Yeah, exactly. Christian Hamm come in and break down a Rolling Stone song.
And if you've not heard that breakdown thing, it's awesome.
Oh, it's one of the best.
It's really fascinating.
Every Monday he shows up with Heidi and Frank and breaks down some song like you never heard of before. He's going to do that for us. About, what, 4:30? Something
excited.
Like that?
Yeah, about 4:30.
Hey, what else is going on at 4?
Also at 4, thanks for setting me up.
You're welcome.
Bob Saget. Listen for his voice between 4 and 5.
Friend of the show, Bob Saget,
yes.
Between 4 and 5.
When you hear his voice say anything, call in and be caller 13. You'll win 4 one-day, one-park tickets to Disneyland Resort.
Nice. Bob Saget's helping out.
Yes,
that's
he
thoughtful
is.
Of
so
it.
Just listen for his voice between 4 and 5, and you'll get a chance to win that as well. And then later in the show, we're going to talk about the best Stone show you ever saw.
Nice.
We want this to be super happy and positive. This is great.
As much as possible.
The most crazy, great, happy moment you've ever had.
Yes.
Watching this
at a Stone show. Nice.
So that's coming up on 95.5 KLOS.
I'm going to play you probably my favorite Stone song. I don't know. That's so hard to say.
It's a tough category.
Way the hell up there. 95.5 KLOS,
Southern California's rock station. It is Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon, and we bring you Chris Carter, who does Breakfast with the Beatles Sundays at 9 a.m., who knows more about the Stones than I know about everything in my life put together.
Wow, a good way of putting it. Hi, dude.
What's happening, guys?
How are you?
I'm all right. Sorry to have to talk on, you know, a sad day like today, but, you know, it's inevitable, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah, we were talking on the air about what is forthcoming, which is an unpleasant subject, but we're all getting older.
Yeah, I mean, the next decade, if you think about it, you know, we still have Mick and Keith and Ronnie from the Stones and Paul and Ringo from the Beatles and Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey and the Kinks and, you know, they're all going to sadly leave us.
I got to be honest. I wasn't hoping we were going to take a nosedive that quick.
Right?
Sorry, guys.
No, I'm just...
That's
true.
Yep. It's horrifying, actually.
Yeah.
It's it makes a little more sense, though, than what Kevin and I were putting up with quite a bit in the 90s over there, where these young people were going way too soon, too early.
You know? Yeah. At least we've got a whole lifetime out of a lot of these. Guys.
Yeah. So, Chris, tell us about, just bring us up to speed on all that Charlie did from the day he was born, as far back as you can go.
The day he was born.
Yeah.
He was a perky young lad. I mean, Charlie was, you know, I always say he was like having, you know, your dad in the band, you know, because you have this reckless, decadent band, the Rolling Stones, and then Charlie was the complete opposite of the rest of the guys, you know. He never said much. He was, you know... He was the ultimate cool cat.
Yep.
And a great drummer, too, you know. I mean, both Mick and Keith swore by Charlie, much like the way the Beatles did with Ringo, you know. He was the heart and soul of the band. They even put him on an album cover. I mean, come on. You put your drummer on an album cover, that says a lot.
Let me ask you a question about Charlie, and that's that he was so into jazz. How did he not get... I don't want to say bored, but you are playing the same stuff over and over and over again, and jazz is a lot more
freestyle,
complex
and open.
Yeah, freestyle. Yeah.
Yeah. He was always into jazz too, you know, even in the very beginning when, you know, Brian Jones and Keith and Mick were kind of filling him in on the whole world of the blues. Charlie was always the jazz guy, which is interesting for the Stones because, you know, they love the blues and they love jazz. Neither of them are rock and roll, you know. They love everything but. And then they combined it with their sound, and that's why you got that great Stone sound. But, yeah, Charlie loved the jazz. He had his own little quintet that became a tentet. And, yeah, he did that on the side, you know. And he loved, you know, he hated touring, Charlie, but he loved playing. That was his whole thing, you know. He hated having to pack the suitcase and leave the house, but
he did that
the only way you could play the drum.
He did that so many times in his life,
right?
For not liking it,
constantly coming back around again. Another Stone show coming up soon. Yeah, he was always.
I mean, if you think about how long that they played, I was watching a documentary about the Stones 75 tour, right? 1975. Right. Mm-hmm. And the guy hosting the documentary was out on the stage about an hour before the Stones were going to come on. And he's saying, "It's hard to believe, but a 33-year-old Mick Jagger will be out here in 2 hours running up and down the stage." They couldn't believe it that he was 33, that he could put on a 2-hour show. And, you know, now they're doing 3-hour shows.
Yeah.
80, you know, so.
Chris Carter from Breakfast with the Beatles. Now, I'm assuming Sunday morning you're going to play quite a bit of Rolling Stones this week. Is that your plan, or what do you got in mind?
Well, you know, it wasn't my plan until now, but we're going to probably do the Beatles versus the Rolling Stones, which is something that we had done in the past. Actually, little Steven Van Zandt would come in, and he'd represent the Stones.
Nice.
And I'd represent the Beatles. And we'd go back and forth, you know, like 1966, you know, here was the Stones single, and then here was Paperback Writer from the Beatles. Kind of go back and forth between them, and that's probably what we'll do on Sunday.
That's literally an unanswerable question.
Yeah, it really is, right? I mean, it really is.
Yeah. There's no right answer, of course.
Did you ever actually see Charlie's jazz band? Did you ever get to see a live performance of his or several?
No, I didn't. Really? I didn't, but I got to see the Stones, you know, in 78 was my favorite Stone show at the Palladium in New York City. That was a pretty good one.
Wow, that's amazing.
And yeah.
That's awesome. You know, yeah, we're going to have to get people to call in with their favorite Stone show. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Did you guys tell the story about how, you know, Charlie punched Mick Jagger in the nose yet?
No, tell it. Yeah, I love that story.
Bring it.
Tell that story.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I guess they were in Amsterdam and it was really late. They got back from, like, having dinner, as you do when you're the Rolling Stones. You get back at around 5 in the morning.
Sure.
And apparently Charlie was in his room and he got a call from Mick. And Mick said something to the effect of, you know, "Where's my drummer?" So Charlie just hung up the phone. And he took a shower, and he put on his best suit and put on a little cologne and combed his hair and then proceeded to walk down the hall and knock on Mick Jagger's door and punched him in the nose.
I got to tell you, I love that
room service.
I love that story because why would he shower and put on his best clothes?
He wants to look his best, you
yes,
know?
But...
Because he was a gentleman.
Yeah.
You know?
Until the punch. He was a class act. You know? If you're going to punch somebody in the nose at 5 in the morning, you know, you got to look good.
You got to look the part. I like it.
That's awesome. Well, Chris, exactly. Thank you so much. We will see you Sunday morning on Breakfast with the Beatles and the Stones this week on KLOS.
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you, Kevin and
thank
Sluggo.
You. Thanks. We appreciate it. 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's Rock Station. It's Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon. In the next hour, we have your Disneyland tickets. And also, Christian Hinn comes in to break down a song. I don't know if you've heard this before, but it is great.
Yeah, and he's going to
be in Frank every Monday.
Definitely do a Stone song, see what Charlie Watts was up to. And we're going to play some more Rolling Stones as time goes on here this fine afternoon.
So we had a conversation before about Mars.
Yes.
And would you want to go?
Dying to.
Sluggo, a hard yes.
A hard yes. Absolutely.
Me, hard no.
I don't care if he can't come back either. It'd be fine with me.
That's...
I'm down for it.
Suicide, though.
Isn't it? Before you actually die on the red planet alone, you'd get a lot of science done. You'd get
alone?
A lot of... Yeah, totally. Like, send back information, because eventually we're going to colonize other planets, you know, a couple generations down the line.
Do you ever want to be the first one to
try
it?
Yeah, no. Hell yeah. No. I do.
Do you buy the new, like, cell phones that come out on the first
day? No, I don't.
You wait for the second or
third
one
because
they fix bugs.
Yeah, there you go. That, too. But
kind
I don't
of
care
important.
Either. Yeah, yeah. Well, but that's not why. It's because I'm cheap.
NASA is opening up an Earthbound, like, Hogwarts-type school for Mars.
Yes, here's my problem with this sort of thing. Because you know you're still on Earth. I could,
right, but it's experimentation to get you ready.
Yes. Great idea. Perfect idea.
Would you do this?
Not at this age. I would younger, but I wouldn't now.
Really?
Yeah. Because I know it's not going to happen, so I don't care.
Oh, I see. So if... Mars isn't the final destination, you're out.
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe in my 20s, if this came up, I would have probably jumped in and I think done fairly well because I don't really care. I could totally be on my own. I love interacting with friends. I love having big parties I used to back in the day. But I can also forego
what happened
it
to that guy?
For something like this.
But in this particular instance, mm-hmm. you're talking about not reality. So you don't have a wife, or family, anything.
Right, exactly, okay. Yes.
So then you would be fine going.
Yeah, no. Hell yeah.
This place is called NASA's Earthbound Hogwarts for Mars, the Crew Health and Performance Exploration Analog. which is a terrible name.
Yeah, it is.
Shortened, it's Chappia, which is a terrible name.
Not a good name.
Or Chappie.
Whatever, man.
C-H-A-P-E-A.
Lame.
According to the agency's website, the coming simulator program will be a step toward Mars.
Mm, nice.
Just a step, though.
Right.
It's not really
a ways off.
Close.
Yeah, definitely.
A series of analog missions that will stimulate year-long stays on the surface of Mars. That doesn't interest you? Because I would think some of that science would interest you, that it would be cool to see how it would react on Mars.
Not to the point of, no, I'm just not good at pretending. I want to actually be there. I want to be there or not.
It's either Mars or nothing.
Yeah, Mars or bust.
All right, I think I would do this.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, because at the end of the year, I would be able to walk out and see people.
Right, right. Maybe you
and
could broadcast
from
there.
Mars.
Maybe you could do a bean and broadcast from the fake Mars.
No, I wouldn't broadcast from there. I'm very science-minded. Don't be ridiculous.
Boy, I know that for a fact. Unbelievable. 40 years ago today, that album Tattoo You was released. 40 years ago today.
That's not possible.
No, man. That's just weird.
40 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that, man. That was a good time. I'm like, this is a good album. There's some good stuff on here. They're wow. Playing it on that radio station, listening all night. That was cool.
Today, in honor of Charlie Watts, if you have a request for a Stone song, we're going to be playing songs all day, so feel free to call us at 818-955-KLOS.
Please do.
I am asking this question. How is it possible that pumpkin spice latte is now back at Starbucks?
No, make it stop. It's August.
Doesn't it
that
feel
a little early?
Sort of like July-ish, though?
Yeah.
Like it's still
it's
summer
hot.
And hot.
Yes.
And
isn't that supposed to be the leaves are falling and the wind is blowing and Halloween is just around
sure.
the corner?
That's what it used to mean, yes.
Come
but
on down to
it's
Starbucks.
Been inching this way the
yep.
whole time.
Yeah.
So now it's not even late August. It's just, what is it, 24th?
Yeah.
Insanity.
Yeah.
It's the earliest that they've ever released.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, really? Wow.
They
well,
keep moving it back every time.
I mean, you know, why make it seasonal? Just have it all the time. Who
well,
cares?
That's my question.
Yeah, just have it around the clock.
So they have the pumpkin spice latte. They have the pumpkin cream cold brew. I don't know either of those because I don't really drink coffee.
Cold brew is good because it's the strongest coffee you
can. Can you talk into a mic?
No, I can't do that.
Okay. Just wondering.
But I like that cold brew because it's the strongest you can get, man. It just kicks your ass.
The two fall-themed drinks, in addition to two seasonal bakery items, a pumpkin scone and a pumpkin cream cheese muffin, make up a huge amount of their profits, which is probably why they keep releasing
yeah, sure.
it earlier
yeah,
and earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Like, let's make an extra $10.
And do you think if they released it, if they made it year-round, no one would... fewer people would care?
I mean, I would think it would just step up at the season, you know? Like, I mean, people would, you know, they could promote it a little more, but I always hate
it. Season today.
Yeah. No, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even close.
I always hate when things go away, the McRib sandwich and whatever. Not that I care.
Same.
But.
I love
that. But, you know, when they just make, I suppose it's there's only so much you can blah, blah, blah.
I don't know what
creates demand. And
I don't know what's in that meat-like product.
Nobody does, man.
I'm pretty sure it's not meat. But whatever's in it is very tasty.
Right.
Although the drink hit Starbucks menu earlier than previous years, Dunkin' Donuts has already beat them.
What?
It's a race to get pumpkin stuff out.
That's funny.
It's August.
It ain't nowhere near fall.
Come on. It's all, that means Christmas is going to be like mid-September.
that's when it should be, actually.
Let's stop doing this, is my point.
Right. Totally. 100%.
Oh, dear Lord. It's Christmas, you guys.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho. All right, some more Stone. She's So Cold. 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock city.
95.5. I was going to say that.
I want to say it.
I thought that was my... Go ahead.
95.5 KLOS, blah, 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 Kevin and Sluggo. And we have a special guest in this.
Christian Hand is in the studio with us. Hey,
yeah.
Christian.
Welcome,
hi.
Sir. How are you?
Well, the joke is that I am the angel of death.
Right there. It's not a great joke.
It's not a great joke. It's not a great job, unfortunately. And today... It's my dubious distinction of being able to honor the passing of the great Charlie Watts from the Rolling Stones, who was fighting cancer, I believe. He actually had throat cancer for years, and they thought he beat it, and I believe that's probably what unfortunately took him from us. We found out today. So we're going to do a Rolling Stones song. A little info on Charlie. He was born in 1941. He joined the Rolling Stones in 1963. He actually actually designed a lot of their record sleeves and their tour shows. He was also the only member with Jagger and Richards to have played on every single Rolling Stones record, and was born in the town that I was raised in England, called Kingsbury.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So I was going to do Sympathy for the Devil, which is a ridiculous construction. It's almost 7 minutes long, so we're going to smash back through this thing really quickly. Produced by Jimmy Miller. It's from Beggar's Banquet. If you don't know Beggar's Banquet, then you don't know the Rolling Stones. The song was originally called Fallen Angels, and then The Devil Is My Name, and it started out as a Bob Dylan sound-alike, and then it was Keith's idea to make it a samba. And the lyrics are a list of man's atrocities from the perspective of the devil, and after Altamont, they refused to play the song for 7 years. So what's cool about this is we're used to Charlie Watts being the backbeat guy, and on this one, he becomes the samba guy. So you've got the Kungas are played by a guy by the name of Rocky Zizzeriz, who just went by Rocky Dijon because nobody else could, Rocky Dijon because nobody could pronounce his last name. And the Maracas are played by Bill Wyman because the bass is played by Keith Richards. So we're going to get to the big bit of the drums where it starts. Obviously, you remember this bit. So good. He's wearing a suit at this time, let's not forget. At all times, he's wearing a suit. Yeah. So this is why I love this one, is that I just imagine him grumpy-faced sitting back there with nothing but disdain for everyone around the band. And like, the only guy I like is the maraca player and the percussion guy. The rest of you chumps, I'm over it. Took Steel Wheels, I believe. He played on Steel Wheels, and then after the fact, they went and put a click track to Steel Wheels, and he never drifted once from the...
Is that right?
From the, yeah, his tempo was bonkers good. The great thing about this song is that Keith is playing the bass, and it's stupid. Stupid bass line. He's so good. Let's get to where he gets adventurous. Skips, he goes, yeah, like this. Right here. Monster. Monster. Hammered, probably. We'll be right back. There's a great story, I don't know if you remember it, about Charlie Watts being woken up at like 2 in the morning by somebody telling him that Mick Jagger wanted to talk to his drummer.
Right.
So he puts his suit on, and he goes down, knocks on Mick Jagger's door, punches him in the face, and says, "You're my singer." And then went back up to the hotel room.
I'm sorry, why did he put his suit on?
Because he's Charlie Watts. You don't go anywhere without your suit on if you're Charlie Watts,
down
mate.
Down the hallway to punch a guy in the face.
To punch Mick Jagger in the face and tell him, "I'm not your drummer, you're my singer, mate."
Do you think that he liked this song because it was more complex, Charlie?
I would imagine that he just loved playing, man. I mean, that was the thing with the dude. Anytime you watched them on stage, he was just in it.
Yeah.
And he had a grin on his face from ear to ear, even when he was like looking at Mick. And the great video is Start Me Up, when he's sitting there and he's playing, and you could just see that he's like, "I can't believe I'm in this band still, these clowns." All right, so the piano is Nicky Hopkins, who has played with the Beatles and a bunch of other people. Monstrous player. And of course, this is one of the most beautiful piano parts in all of music. And does this. What must it have been like to have been in the room at this moment?
Right?
Because the song doesn't exist until this day.
Right.
And then it appears, and then they're playing it, and everyone's in the soup. Like, you can see video of them, and they're all in the studio, and it's broken up by these, you know, these gobos that they put up to separate all the microphones from each other. And it's happening, and you can see in their faces that they know that what's happening is incredible. So that's that. So also, there's a young man by the name of Keith Richards playing some guitar. And let us not... Yeah, I know. And let's not forget, Keith Richards outlived Charlie Watts. Like, how is Keith Richards outliving all of us?
Yeah, that is a miracle.
It's unbelievable, honestly.
Leaving the world to him, there's no doubt about it.
I mean, it's like him and Shane McGowan from the Pogues are in a neck-and-neck race right now to see who's going to outlast the other. So Keith's playing on this thing is bonkers. It's a knife fight of a guitar part. And then the ending, just... singing over the top of everything. It's like a blues guitar. Get out of town. And what happens is that everyone forgets when they're listening to me doing this that this is the recording of them in 1968. This is the sound that they laid down that day.
Wow.
This is Keith Richards in a room with a guitar on playing this. Like, this is bonkers time machine it's stuff insane. That we get to experience. Yeah. Like, this is magical, magical. Like, this had never existed until this moment. And I've done that. All right, I'm off. If anybody needs me, I'll be upstairs smoking a cigarette. All right, so the vocals on this, obviously Mick at his most Mickish. And the thing that's really amazing about this vocal is if you listen to these lyrics, it's the devil justifying himself and saying, I'm not the bad guy. You guys are the bad guys. Like, have sympathy for the fact that I had to do all this stuff because I had to do it because you suck. And it's amazing, man. Like, Mick.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. I stole many a man's soul of faith. And I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure that Pilate washed his hands and sealed his fate. Ooh. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game.
That thumping is actually him jumping up and down as he's singing. That's what it is. It's going through the mic because the mic isn't suspended like they are now, so it goes right through the floor.
So they can it can stuck actually around. Sense his jumping.
Yeah, it's like him going up and down.
I stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was a time for a change. Killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank, held a generous rank when the blitzkrieg raged and the bodies stank.
Incredible.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. Oh yeah. I was puzzling you with the nature of my game. Oh, yeah. I watched with glee while you kings and queens fought for 10 decades for the gods they made. I shouted out, who killed the Kennedys? When, after all, it was you and me. Let me please introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
So you can hear right there, this is the scratch vocal behind, so you can hear that he changed the way he sang it right here.
Whammy. Let me please introduce.
So he says, so please on the scratch track, which is still recorded on the main track, and then he changed it.
Let me please introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I lay traps for troubadours who get killed before they reach Bombay. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. Oh, yeah. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Oh, yeah. Get down here.
Get down, Jimmy.
Pleased to meet you.
So good.
Hope you guess my name. Oh, yeah. But what's confusing you is just the nature of my game. Mm, yeah. Just as every cop is a criminal and all the sinners saints. As heads is tails, just call me Lucifer, cause I'm in need of some restraint. So if you meet me, have some courtesy, have some sympathy, and some taste. Use all your well-learned politics, or I'll lay your soul to waste. Mm, yeah. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. Mm, yeah. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Mean it. Get down.
Mean it. Get down. It's...
Doesn't it seem like people can get lost in a band making mistakes or whatever? But then when you play it like this, you realize, oh, no one's really making any mistakes at all.
No,
but crazy.
I mean, and the other thing is it's human beings. Like,
yes.
Everything is so corrected in 2021 and auto-tuned and fixed. And what you've done is you've sucked the actual humanity out of it. And what's in, so the who bit is, so it's Anita Pallenberg and Marianne Faithfull are singing, which is also ridiculous. Like, those chicks are hanging out in the studio and everybody. So then, but what happened was, Anita Pallenberg was walking around and she just started singing whoop whoop as she walked around the studio, and Mick heard it and went, I think I'll have that. And then he changed it to who who, and then, or to who who. And Jimmy Miller said, who are you singing to? And then he said, I'm singing to the devil. And then the whole song pivots because of this Anita Pallenberg just sitting this and just singing.
Fire! This. Get on now.
It's really, I mean, this whole, all of these, you know, to me, the you know, I was born in a Beatles family, so the Beatles were religion. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my dad about how, you know, I was so glad to be raised in a household where music was so important. He said, well, obviously not the bloody Rolling Stones. So, but I've now come as an older man to appreciate the Stones and what they did. And the loss of Charlie Watts, he's such a, like, it's a, one of those things where you see the silhouette of Charlie Watts and you know that it's Charlie Watts. And he's so important to this band and to music of that era. You know, Ringo and Charlie are just the shoulders that everybody else is standing on coming out of that scene. So,
and he wasn't flashy at all, so to recognize that from a guy who's really, really sort of,
but if you've ever seen him play
down.
Jazz,
yeah,
as a jazz drummer, he's mm-hmm. on. So that's the thing. It's like Steve Smith from Journey, where you're like, oh man, the guy's just bashing away, and you're like, no. He's choosing to just be like, oh, I'll get out of here, and then I can go play my jazz band. If we get through this, I might be able to get to the bitter end for a minor set. Hey, you guys, are we wrapped here? Because I got real music I got to go play somewhere else. So rest in peace, Charlie Watts. Thank you for all the music, and our hearts go out to his family and obviously the band. I mean, if you've ever been in a band or around musicians, the loss of someone, and they were going to go out on their tour, and obviously.
Yeah.
yeah. he wasn't going to play, so we were worried about that. And you know, now a friend of mine's working on their tour, and they're working out a whole in memoriam thing. So,
oh, nice
to the fans and to everybody else and the family, obviously, and the band especially. Our condolences from everybody here at KLOS. And it's just hang out and listen to some Stones today. And if you want more, I'm going to be on tonight. I forget what I'm doing tonight, but at 6 p.m. I'll be doing more Rolling Stones on the Session IG Live. So come and hang out over there and crank some Beggar's Banquet as you drive around today, because it's a good one.
Right on. Christian James Hamm, thank you so much for having me in, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It's Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon.
Thanks so much to Christian James Hamm for coming in. He does that every Monday with Heidi and Frank in the morning.
That is incredibly cool. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, Christian James Hamm doesn't come up, which suggests to me that he's been banned. But you can follow him at The Session on Air.
Yeah.
That's sort of his cool.
And if you missed some of that, he broke down Sympathy for the Devil. We're going to run that again a little after 6:30 tonight. So if you want to hear the entire segment once again, it's coming up about 6:30.
I want to listen to the entire segment once again.
Yeah, man.
He's fascinating.
It is just always, isn't it? And then just like the little fade out that you never heard at the end of the song. Holy cow. Just
being able to have the stem and take it apart and listen to one player doing one thing is...
Yeah. And of course, Charlie Watts, just bringing it, as he always did.
So we're going to take your phone calls to celebrate the Stones, talking about the best Stone show you ever saw. Where were you? Did you get engaged? What was the deal? Where was the concert? What were the surrounding circumstances that made it one of the most memorable times of your life?
Yeah.
818-955-KLOS, your favorite Stones moment, 818-955-KLOS.
Kind of the perfect sound right here to say R.I.P.
Agreed.
Charlie Watts.
We're taking calls to celebrate the Stones, and we're asking for your best Stones memory, the best show that you ever saw them at. KLOS, you have one?
When I was 18 years old.
Yep.
Long time ago at the Coliseum.
At the Coliseum?
Yeah.
And what stands out to you specifically?
Nick blew me a kiss.
Did he?
That's awesome.
That's pretty great.
Yeah,
so you must have been somewhat near the stage?
I was, yeah.
Fantastic.
Wow, that's really crazy. Were your friends jealous? Hey, why are you getting a kiss from Mick?
No, I don't think anybody noticed except me.
Are you positive it was meant for you? Was there someone hot behind you?
Yeah, was there some girl behind you that was just like pretty amazing named Angie or something?
Oh, listen, we're not doubting your story.
No, not at all. Thanks for calling.
KLOS, hello.
Well, my first Stones concert was 1978. I was still in high school.
Nice.
Junior. And Prince had been one of the opening acts, but Prince wasn't the Prince back then, so yeah, I don't think America was really ready for him.
Right.
So they booed him off the stage.
Did he whip out Bambi? I love that song. That is a guitar ripping song. I would think almost even a Rolling Stones.
I would hate to open for the Stones in 78.
Yeah. But that's a brave move. I like that. Bringing Prince up.
Same.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Thanks for calling, man. Thank you.
KLOS, hello.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi there.
Yo.
Your favorite Stones moment.
It was my first rock concert, so to say. There was three bands opening up. It was Jay Giles, George Thorogood, and Distorted, and then Unknown, Prince at the time.
Oh, you were at the same show.
Wow.
Did he get booed off the stage for that show, that particular performance that night?
Prince did, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That is harsh.
Yeah,
and there was a guy who was drunk that was going up the stairs. It was at the Coliseum.
Yep.
And he was going up the stairs side by side. He finally got to the top. When he got to the top, everybody cheered. And then the security went and took him away, and then everybody booed, and that was it.
Okay, so wait, were they booing Prince, or were they booing that the guy couldn't get to him?
No, they were booing Prince because they were doing stuff up there. They just dropped their instruments off and walked out.
Oh, that is harsh. That is rough.
And then the other thing I can remember is I fell asleep.
What?
I was so stoned.
How's your best memory being I fell asleep because I was so stoned?
That's awesome.
That's a good one to go out on.
Thanks for calling. 818-955-KLOS, your best Rolling Stones concert memory. Classic B-side from the Stones for a very cool human named Renee. 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station.
Do you know Renee, or is just someone?
No, never heard of her before. But good taste. Ask for that's the 45 amazing. Flip side dandelion there. Good stuff.
We are taking your best Stones show ever. What do you got?
Well, it was in 1972, Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Had 15 row seats, It was the most amazing show. Stevie Wonder played with him. He opened for him.
Wow.
Wow.
And when they came out at the end and they did Jumpin' Jack Flash, Arm in Arm, Stevie Wonder, and Mick Jagger, it was one of the most incredible things you ever could imagine.
What a great memory that is.
That is really cool. That is amazing.
And I bought 4 tickets for $100.
Wow. And probably that seemed like a lot then, right?
That was a big chunk of change.
It did.
Yeah.
Waited in line for 24 hours in the rain in Philadelphia in the wintertime. It was one of the most, of course, I was only 18 years old at the time.
You could do that kind of stuff back then, yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly worth it, though.
I tell you that when I heard the news today, my heart broke.
Yeah.
It was so sad. And I kind of had a feeling something was up because they announced that he won't be on their tour with them.
Right, yep.
Yeah,
well, and then you find out why.
Yeah.
It's a big bummer.
Right on. Thanks for calling, man. Thank you very much.
KLOS, hello.
Dude, I think it was the late 80s. I saw him at L.A. Coliseum, and Guns N' Roses opened up for him.
Wow.
And how did that go over?
If I remember correctly, Axl fell off the stage. Yep. I think the first song, he was so blown away, he gave a big speech being so blown away about opening up for the Rolling Stones.
Of course.
As a kid, he used to see the Rolling Stones.
Sure,
right?
Yep.
So he was blown away, and then all of a sudden, he delved right off the stage.
All right, was he able to continue, or was that it?
I believe so, yep.
Nice.
He continued, but...
he ain't going to let that go, man. He'd be like doing a Dave Grohl with that and broken leg.
I broke my leg. I'm getting right back up on stage.
Awesome. Thank you for calling, man. Thank you.
KLOS, hello.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. Your favorite Stones moment?
Well, let's see. I've seen them every time they've been here.
Wow, nice. Nice, wow.
The best shows I went to, 75 Tour of the Americas, Sunday, July 13th, front row, center section, first row, seat 1 and 2.
Wow.
At the forum, and then the benefit in January of 73 for Nicaragua for Jagger's wife, Bianca.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
That was Cheech and Chong, Santana, and the Stones.
Oh, my God. That must have been just...
What a bizarre lineup.
You couldn't see, probably, right? The theater is so full of smoke, I would think. That's amazing.
Well, it was pretty cool. It was at the Forum, and, you know, it was like in the 70s. So I guess it was pretty smoggy inside.
Sure. Of course.
That is awesome. Thank you for calling, man.
Appreciate it.
818-955-KLOS, your best Stones moment.
I love that one. 1978, Some Girls. It's a good song.
95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It's Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon. We're taking your calls for the best Stone show you saw. KLOS, hello.
Yes, hello. It's Ruben from Hemet.
Hi, Ruben. Your favorite Stones moment?
My favorite moment, my first concert, was seeing the Stones at the Coliseum. I've already heard a couple people talk about it.
Yep.
When Prince got booed off stage.
That really is a crazy thing to hear.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
At that concert, you know, the first concert, I was 8, 9 years old. You know, enjoyed the music, enjoyed the Stones.
I have to wonder what, like, went on backstage. I mean, I would imagine maybe Mick had something to say to Prince. I'm sure they were, like, happy to have him on board.
Well,
so
obviously, they put him on the tour.
That would suck.
Yeah.
That would really suck.
He's a legend. He's a legend now.
Yeah. Dude, thank you so much for calling. Thanks.
KLOS, hello. Your favorite Stones moment?
Oh, yes, sir. A 1981 in Philadelphia on their North American tour. I went. Journey was there. I'm not sure the other bands. But it started 7 o'clock in the morning, went the entire day, hot as hell, and people were dropping like flies.
When did the Stones start?
Yeah, when did they go on stage?
Late in the day, like maybe 7 o'clock at night. I mean, literally.
Wow. So you're 12 hours until the Stones
Honest
come on.
Oh my God, it was beyond belief.
They just don't do anything like that anymore.
No,
that's just a thing that's just history now, it seems.
It was, but the other memorable thing, we're talking 100,000 people at Veterans Stadium. Imagine the crowd. And I am a nurse, and I happened to be on call that day. I had to carry a beeper. I put the beeper on my collar right below my throat
right,
so I could feel it vibrate, hear it, because the crowd was deafening.
Right.
And I had people around me thought I was a narcotics agent.
Oh, no!
Nark! Nark in the crowd!
Nark!
Exactly.
And you're there to save lives!
Exactly. Isn't that funny?
That's beautiful.
Good times.
Awesome.
Gay Lewis, hello.
Oh, yes. I was calling because I went to a Rolling Stones Pearl Jam concert in Oakland up in like 96, 97. Mm-hmm. It was pouring down rain during Pearl Jam's set. As soon as the Rolling Stones started, the rain just totally stopped. And Mick Jagger said, it's like me and him, we have a deal.
Another Rolling Stones request, 95.5 KLOS. Slug Monstrosity. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I am good. David, did you hear Bob Saget's voice?
Yes, I did.
That's what you're calling. Okay, good, good. That's important. That's a very important part of it.
Yeah, because this is pretty cool.
You are our winner, which means you get 4 one-day, one-park tickets to Disneyland Resort.
All right.
Congrats, dude. They got a new experience at Avengers Campus, which is at the Disney California Adventure Park, if you'd like to choose that. But you got 4 tickets.
All right. Thanks. I was surprised I got through.
Well, congratulations, David. We're going to be doing that all week in the 4 o'clock hour, so.
In the final hurrah before a planned sale, driver flips 2020 Stingray Corvette. The man planned to sell his high-performance sports car the next day and thought, you know what? One last drive.
Yeah, then he flipped it.
He flipped it.
Oh, my God.
He flipped the car. The single-car crash happened around 2 p.m. on Monday near North Carolina Highway 111. He apparently pulled onto the highway and says that he stepped on it. That's his whole thing.
That's all I remember.
I stepped on it.
Yeah. I don't know. I stepped on it.
And it literally went sort of upside down and drove into the ground like an arrow would.
Yes. You're not selling me. Maybe it knew.
So I thought it might be fun to talk about ruining your favorite stuff. The most important thing to you.
Oh.
This guy was going to sell it, sure. But like for me, for example, it's a picture that my daughter painted for me. Based on a picture that I had taken.
Right.
That would kill me more than anything, more than a car accident.
Oh, because you told me about it. I thought you were just now saying you had ruined it somehow.
No.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Saying
oh,
that
God.
Would be it.
Oh, right.
Maybe it's a pair of earrings. Maybe it's whatever you have.
I had only one award ever in this stupid radio business, damn near 40 years. And I was sitting on the fireplace shelf or whatever at home. And the Northridge earthquake threw it across the room.
Oh, nice.
Shattered.
It was like, no, you don't.
Yeah, you suck. No, I don't know who they thought they were. They were wrong. Here, let me destroy it for you.
So 818-955 KLOS. If you destroyed something that was really important to you, 818-955-KLOS. 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It's Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon. Christian Hand is here and is going to be doing a song breakdown next for Sympathy for the Devil. Very excited about
that. Nice. Awesome.
First, we're talking about a man flipped his prize Stingray and you ruined something that was very important to you.
Yeah, I had the Beatles Butcher album and it got torn.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. How did it get torn?
It got torn. It got hung up in one of my albums. I pulled it apart and tore it in half.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. Why didn't you have it, like, in a safe or something, though?
I know. I heard it was very, very worth a lot of money.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'll buy the torn version from you for, like, $5.
Super glue it together so you can get it to work.
Oh, we got a deal?
I already threw it out.
Definitely.
Damn, you throw it away!
Of course. It's,
oh, my God.
We're ripped in half.
I'm going through his garbage right now. Oh, there'll be some of us that'll pay for it. Thanks for calling, man.
Hello, KLOS.
It's been 2 years building my truck, my classic truck, and I drove it about 5 times before the wheel fell off and crushed the fender.
Oh, man. Oh, man. 5 years.
I'm sorry, that's not funny. But it's kind of funny.
At least, is it
kind of funny to you now?
Yeah, it's quite a joke.
Okay.
Right on. Thanks for calling, man.
KLOS, hello.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, thanks. You ruined something that was important to you?
Yeah, dude. So I'm still working on getting it back, sort of. My hair, man.
Your hair?
Yeah, man. I was really proud of my hair. Mm-hmm. I had really long hair. It was somewhere between, like Rick James and David Coverdale or something like that. And I was super proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
High school was amazing. Got along with all the kids. Because who's going to mess with a kid with, like, really nice hair, right?
Right.
Ruined it completely.
How?
How did you ruin it?
I fell asleep somewhere that I shouldn't have, and there was a bunch of sticky gunk on the floor, and it just completely ruined my hair.
You fell asleep in a men's room? That's so gross.
That's been a couple hours since I've done that.
It was like my first big party. Drank a bunch that I'd never drank before. And luckily, this was after high school, but Yeah, I'm trying to grow it back now, but I smoke a lot of weed, so it kind of screws up the hair, you know.
Don't tell me that. I have very long hair.
You got to make choices. Fine,
but thanks for calling. I was on the Sand Rock in 1979 when the Ramones movie Rock and Roll High School was released to theaters. I was on the Sand Rock in 1991 when Randy Newman won his first Emmy, taking Outstanding Original Music and Lyrics for his work on... Cop Rock. It was on this day in rock that Brian Eno's music welcomed the Windows 95 operating system. On this day in rock in 1995, Microsoft launched Windows 95.